In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We've all had a day when we get up in the morning, not thinking about what's going to happen through the day, not even expecting it to go as usual, but just live the day. And then out of the blue, something momentous happens, something that throws the day out of kilter, and we don't know what's happened. We never know what God has in store for us, and neither did Moses. He expected to spend his day like every other day, having breakfast, tending the sheep of his father-in-law, having dinner with his family, going to sleep. There was no thought of a life-changing episode occurring in his life on that day. But while tending the sheep, Moses noticed that a bush was on fire. Now, in a hot desert, it's quite common to see a bush on fire, plants on fire, trees on fire because of the extreme heat. But this was a little bit different, because though the bush was on fire, the fire wasn't diminishing and the bush wasn't being burnt. The fire kept burning, but the bush was not harmed. Now Moses, with his curiosity now aroused by this quite strange phenomenon, went closer to the bush to discover why it was still burning. He must have got a shock when God said to him, "Moses, Moses." I know I get a shock if someone said out of a bush, "Sandy, Sandy." I say, "Oh my goodness, what's that?" But he just says, "Here I am." Well, I don't think I would have been quite as calm as that. But did you notice that God waited until Moses went to the burning bush before he spoke to him? He didn't say, "Moses, come over here, I want to talk to you." He waited until Moses came to him. And like Moses, we have to go to God and spend time with him if we want to hear God's voice, if we want to hear what God has to say to us. We all have busy lives, and we all need time to be with God. Because God doesn't shout at us and say, "Hey, I want you." We have to go to him. We have to make that time to stop and listen to what he has to say to us. God is waiting for us. We don't have to wait for him because he's always with us, but he is waiting for us to be with him. God said to Moses, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And Moses hid his face and was afraid. Now, he should not have been afraid to hide his face. He knew that he could not look at God, so why was he afraid? Well, like you and me, Moses' life was not free from sin. He could not control his anger at times. He'd shown contempt for the man that he killed, and he feared the wrath of God because of his sins. And the last thing he expected was God to want him to be a messenger for him, a sinner, to do God's work. God wanted Moses to go to Egypt to free his people. And Moses is astounded and questions God's choice. He says, "Who? Me? You want to send me?" He could not believe that God wanted him, a sinner, to go to Egypt, to Pharaoh, as a messenger, as his messenger. And he's a bit hesitant about it. He says to God, "Well, what will I say when I am asked who sent me?" And God replies, "Tell them I am who I am sent you." God told Moses that he would be with him all the way, when he goes to Pharaoh and when he brings the Hebrews out of Egypt. God was with Moses all the way, just as God is with us all the way. In all of our lives, no matter what we do, God is with us, especially when we do his work. All through the Bible, we're told that God wants a relationship with the people he created, with us. And because of God's love and grace, we don't have to look for him, because God came to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He came to seek us out, and save us by the death and resurrection of Jesus, so that we could be joint heirs with Jesus in the kingdom of God. When Jesus tells his disciples that he will suffer many things and be killed by the scribes, elders, and chief priests, Peter is horrified, as the others would have been. Jesus had told him that on him would be built the church. But how could Jesus do this if he died? Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. How could he die? And why should he die? Peter was quite shocked and exclaims, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Now, can you imagine how Peter felt when Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Remember, Peter had just been told that on him, Jesus would build his church. But now he's being told that he is setting his mind on the things of man instead of the things of God. He must have felt bewildered, belittled, and a bit hurt by that. However, when you study the words of what Jesus said to Peter, you can see that he's saying to Peter that his concern is how he would feel if Jesus died. His concern is not about the mission that God had for Jesus and that Jesus is dutifully and lovingly going on. Because if Jesus doesn't suffer, die, and be resurrected, he fails his mission. And if he fails his mission, we would not be saved. We would not be saved from the condemnation of God for our sins. But Jesus did fulfill his mission. And because he did, when we accept him as our Lord and Saviour, confess and repent of our sins, we are saved from the wrath of God. We are saved for our sins, and we have eternal life with God. And that is how much God loves us. He gave his only Son as a sacrifice for our sins. So we are made pure, pure with the blood of Jesus. And he raised Jesus from the dead so that we could have eternal life. But God still has a mission for his church, for us. We are to be his ambassadors and tell of the grace of God and the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, for the whole world, for everybody. No matter who they are, no matter how much they have sinned, no matter from where they come, God wants us to tell everybody about the good news that we all can be saved, especially our neighbours, our friends, and our families, which are sometimes the hardest ones to tell about God. Jesus says, "If anyone comes after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." In that time, the cross meant surrendering to the law people, surrendering to officials, undergoing excruciating pain, and eventually death. Excruciating comes from the Latin word excruciatus, which means out of the cross. That's just today's little bit of trivia for you. Now notice that Jesus doesn't tell the disciples to carry the cross, let someone put it on your back and carry the cross. He says, take up your cross and follow him. So Jesus is giving them a choice as he gives us a choice. We can take up the cross and follow Jesus, or we can just let the cross lie there and do nothing. We have a choice to follow Jesus or not, because God gave us free will. He doesn't force us to follow his Son, but he wants us to follow his Son so that we can be saved, so that we can have eternal life with him. We follow Jesus when we have confessed and repented of our sins and accept him as our Lord and Saviour. And we take up the cross of Jesus because we have accepted Jesus. And we love God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus isn't telling us that we have to suffer excruciating pain to be his follower. taking up the cross may be uncomfortable, because as humans we prefer to take the easy way out. We'd rather do the things that are going to give us the least resistance. But following Jesus is not always easy. When we take up the cross of Jesus, we obey the command of Jesus to follow him, even to the point of death. And in some parts of the world today, if a person follows Jesus, they are put to death. So we should be really thankful that in this country, we can freely follow Jesus, we can freely meet together, we can freely have a church service. So many places can't, and we should be praying for those places and giving thanks every day to God for where we live. In the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, we read, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And it is by the power of God, his Holy Spirit living in us, that we can take up the cross, even though doing it is not always easy, because it gives us the gift of life. God made us perfect, but because we have all sinned, and we always will until we die and be with Jesus, we fall far from the glory of God. But it is through the suffering death of Jesus that we are free from the condemnation of sin, and we do have a right relationship with God. God is just, and we do deserve his condemnation. However, God did not leave us to die in our sin. He sent his only son, Jesus, who knew no sin, to die as a sacrifice for us. Through his death, we've been given life. And that's how much God loves us, sacrificing his only son for his creation, for the people he created. He gave his son to suffer and die on the cross so we could be forgiven. And he raised Jesus from the dead so we could have eternal life. How good God is to us. So take the time to be with God. He loves you. He loves us. He loves all of us. And like Moses went to the burning bush to see God, to be with God, we should go and meet God and listen to what he has to say. God wants that closer relationship with all of us. So don't be afraid that a closer relationship with God will be something awful. It is not. It's something beautiful. It's not awful because he knows of your sin. It's beautiful because he knows of your sin. God is always with you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.